of the previous meeting. Each member of the board having previously received and read the minutes of the previous meeting date, October 18th, the chair will entertain a motion that the reading of these minutes be dispensed with the approval of the same. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Good. On a question. Wait.
Yeah.
Buck?
Abstain.
Buck? Yeah. Yes. Mike? Yeah. And Chair Alford. All persons making an appeal before the board will be heard in accordance with the town laws of the state of New York, Article 16, Section 267, 279, and 288, Subdivision 3, and the town of Orchard Park zoning ordinance. Any person aggrieved by any decision of the Board of Appeals may present to a court of record a petition duly verified setting forth that such decision is illegal, specifying the grounds of the illegality. Such petition must be presented to the court within 30 days after filing of the decision in the office of the town clerk. Will the secretary please read the affidavit of publication and posting of the legal notice of this meeting?
Notice is hereby given that the Zoning Board of Appeals of the Town of Orchard Park, New York, will hold a public hearing on Tuesday, the 15th of November, 2022, at 7 p.m. in the Orchard Park Community Activity Center, 4520 California Road, in said town, in the matter of the following appeals.
Let the record show that site inspections for tonight's cases were made by Dwight?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Kim?
Yes.
Mike? Yes. And the chair also. So we do have a full member board tonight. Any motion will need three approvals either way in order for the motion to pass. Can you please read the first item on the agenda?
ZBA file number 2622, Dollar General, 6017 Big Tree Road, Zone B2, SBL numbers 172.08-4-5 and 172.08-4-4, part of Farm Lot 23, Township 9, Range 7, requests an area variance for 16 fewer car spaces than the 53.2 spaces required. Retail or mercantile establishments, stores, or service shops, one off-street parking space for each 200 square feet of floor area, exclusive of parking areas provided for employees on the same premises. Additional off-street parking may be required by the town board in the case of shopping centers on sites of 2 acres or more. Section 144-29A3C.
Come on up. And when you get here, please sign in.
Kara Bennett with the Broadway Group, here to represent the project at 6017 Big Tree Road, and we are here to follow up on our application for the parking variance, in which case, as you stated, we are trying to build a retail store. The lot has some environmental limitations that led us to come before the board seeking a variance for the parking to reduce the amount of pavement and to limit the impacts to the environment. And so there were some questions that came up at the last meeting, and we asked to table the discussion with the board until some further research could be conducted. For our part, we did reach out to a traffic engineer and ask them to go and visit the site and collect some data and prepare a professional assessment of the situation, in addition to providing the ITE trip generation model, which would show how many cars would be expected to enter and exit the site during the peak hours in the morning and the evening. And so we did accomplish that and submitted that report to the town this week for the file. But in a nutshell, we are asking to provide 35 parking stalls for our site, and in the peak hour in the evening with that ITE trip generation model, 34 would be the number that they would estimate of cars coming into the site. And so as you can see, the number that we are requesting exceeds the ITE trip generation model, and it also just exceeds the operational data that we have from Dollar General for 17,000 to 18,000 stores nationwide, where they know that their store can operate with fewer stalls without any negative impacts to the community.
First, I should address one of the reasons why this item was tabled was because there was a question on where the parking code came from, and there really isn't a good answer. Unfortunately, this goes back so far that we can't really find a good reason for it. So I apologize for that response, but I will have board members, unless you can explain it better.
No, you didn't change the question.
So I'll
start with that. How are the cars going to get to the parking lot? And I understand the DOT has denied you a curb cut.
No, sir, I'm not under that impression. If you've received information from the DOT that they denied a curb cut, they have not communicated that to us. Our application is still under review.
But if I may speak, yeah. I saw the building inspector and I were at another meeting within the month, and he said that the DOT had denied that request for a curb cut.
Well, John, that's news to us.
Okay, I'm just telling you what the building inspector told me.
In fact, we spoke to the DOT today and saying anything of the kind.
Okay, and you may have been misinformed.
Possibly. Certainly they would have provided it.
I would hope they would, yeah.
And quite frankly, that's irrelevant to the question of whether the variance should be granted under the circumstances. This isn't an access variance. This is a parking variance.
No, but I think it is reasonable to ask if you're asking for 35 spaces. And my understanding was, and I apologize if I was wrong.
Oh, it's not.
Yeah. How would you have access to the
Well, there's two opportunities. Obviously, there's right on Big Tree itself, which for the moment we have a question on whether or not that's been permitted or not. I feel that's probably just a state and site issue. The other option is if we were to work with adjacent landowners to try to work our way to a private drive. That is certainly not an option we want to pursue because it involves crossing a creek. Much more significant impact to the site if we have to go in that particular direction. Either way, the 35 spots is still the number that we'd be looking for under any circumstance because that's the number we found from experience that works for these stores. And as Tara mentioned, the traffic count anticipates 34 max per hour. And certainly people, not many that I know, spend an hour in a Dollar General. So they're usually 10 minutes in and out, get their gallon of milk and get out. So, and that's been seen recently with our stores as well. You could go to any one of them, and even at the peak of Christmas time, you don't see full parking lots. You see a handful of cars, maybe 5 or 10 tops, and that's with employees. So it's just the need for 53 here is just it's just excessive.
What about peak bills time?
Well, traffic is a whole other animal. I mean, that's the fact that the DOT doesn't even weigh in on Bill's traffic as far as a traffic condition because they can't model it. There's a possibility that you could have more vehicles in there, but I don't expect that it's going to be substantially more than what we see at peak hours. Certainly peak hours, but I don't think we're going to see 50 people trying to get in there.
I don't know if anything else. Thank you.
Sure.
Yeah. And to answer my question, when we through that, ITE study is 34, that are going there for hour?
Correct. Peak per hour. Okay. And that's been submitted to board. We apologize if it didn't get to you. We did send it to Remy, so I don't know if it made it to you. But that was the peak. That was the peak number.
34 and 10
pounds. Yeah.
hour, the morning peak hour was lower. So just, you know, geared towards a more conservative number, that is what, that would be the absolute peak.
Can you just reiterate again the size of the number of square feet of the store you're proposing?
It's
640,
sorry. And in my rough calculations, if you had a 7,000 square foot store, you wouldn't need a variance.
Correct. At the
maybe even an 8,000, depending on how you could utilize your lot for parking.
Yeah, one per 200. Yeah, right. You know, you'd be at 7,000 square feet.
Right. So, you know, also my understanding is that the usage of a store like this is a quicker turnaround time than something like Kohl's or Target, where people may go for an hour and a half, and for every 200 square feet of store, they need one parking spot. This is my kind of view on it. I just wanted to know if you think I'm looking at it correctly.
Yeah, I mean, that's fairly typical. So the one per 200 square foot parking requirement is a really common retail rate for parking, and it's been used for decades, and it works again for the store type that you talked about, where you have a longer period where your customers are in the store and you have more overlap than a store like this where you don't have significant overlap, and it just leads to excessive parking for this type of store. Certainly, if we go to Quaker Crossing during Christmas, that's, you know, things that get jammed up. But even Quaker Crossing has excess, even at Christmas.
Yeah, people don't want to walk.
Right, they don't want to walk, but ultimately, there's no parking there. And those are all retail stores. Those are your Targets and liquor stores, maybe, you know, not quite as long latency, but certainly Kohl's, Dick's, those kind of stores are going to generate more duration. So, I understand where the one for 200 comes from. I just think as it applied to this store, it doesn't make an awful lot of sense. And you add that to the compounding effect of the negative impacts from adding another 20 spots. You're looking at that additional pavement that now gets into, you start getting into the floodplain more. You start to get into wetlands. You start getting into a bunch of different areas unnecessarily. But I think it just doesn't make sense here. Again, common with all the stores in Western New York. I've probably done 15 of them now, and they're all in the 30 to 35 range is where they begin and they've been. The stores are usually, 8,500 is a small store, and then 10,000 is a new model, and that's where the stores are going to happen.
All right. Thank you for your consideration.
Sure. Approximately how many parking spots are you going to have for employees?
Usually there's a max of 2 to 3 employees at the store at any given time. Some it's as low as one. Not a heavy employee volume.
So between 1 and 3. Thank you.
Sure.
I don't have any questions at this time, so I will be going to the audience. There is, oh, go ahead.
Can we table this after we went to the audience the last time? Now that we untabled it, did we go to the audience again? Maybe we should talk to our attorney.
Where are you headed to the manager?
Oh, I was going to ask the audience, but Dwight's asking.
We tabled it after we had audience participation the last meeting.
Yep, so you don't need to do that.
Okay. All right. Then I will be closing the public hearing. Board discussion.
We received all the information we looked for. Where did that end?
Which information?
The historical. We were looking for the historical reading behind it.
There was no record.
No record, but it seems like it's a practice standard, a best practice standard, that all towns seem to have the same standard.
Correct.
200, one spot for 200 seems very prevalent.
My guess is that this was just taken off the shelf from a state form and then was modified therein.
I think that's what happened too. I think that's why it's hard to track it down.
Yes.
Yeah, and I can say that the municipalities have been looking at those numbers again because of the significant amount of parking areas that are created as a result of that standard. And, when a retailer looks at any project, they usually use an ITE standard, which is, okay, how much traffic are we going to generate? Look at what we want there, and then model it usually into the 90% range at peak so that there isn't a perception of no parking. So when you get into the high 90s, people have this perception of no parking and get frustrated. So retailers usually oversize by about 10%. That's what they aim for, and they use the ITP standard as a means for driving that. City Buffalo has switched over to that as well. Their TDM modeling is based on ITP standards, so they've started to update it, and you see it here and there in different towns where they get more granular about the parking numbers.
Thank you. John, can you recap what you had mentioned before about our three alternatives for this?
Yes, we can approve, deny, or send it back to the planning board for concept review. And how that has come into play is that the chairman of the planning board has done some research on this particular project and has determined that, number one, it's a project along a scenic highway, which kicks it into a long-form environmental assessment form. And the state has regulations specifically for commercial developments in those areas. If you'd like, I've got a copy of what the question was. So best practice might be to send you back to the planning board. I guess they sent you here.
Correct.
Don't need to be sort of a ping pong game, but you may find these additional regulations might have an immediate bearing on your project.
Yeah, we'll look into that, John. Thank you for pointing it out.
Sure.
I'm wondering a lot if it's within the reach of 219.
I guess the scenic highway runs from two, there's some spurs, and the president of the scenic highway development preparation sits on his board. And correct me if I'm wrong, Bob, it runs from 219 to East Aurora.
Yes, sure. Okay, that's simple enough. We've got to provide a full environmental assessment.
Okay. And I guess my point also is that there will be additional requirements that you'd have to meet because of that.
Sure.
Okay.
Do I have any other questions?
I have a follow-up to that. Was there something about the planning board being able to approve a change in parking within 10%?
According to the Rainey RFO, the planning board has the authority to change certain things like parking requirements up to 10% either way, larger or smaller. And I don't know the numbers. I went to law school to avoid numbers. So I'm not sure whether or not your proposal falls within that shadow.
Yeah, our request is greater than that. Yeah,
it's
we're a little over 20%. So we need an area variance.
Okay, perfect.
Any other questions? I personally feel like we should refer it back to the planning board so that we don't approve something that they can't meet. To come back to us again.
I agree.
So do I have a board member willing to make a motion?
I'll make a motion so that we refer the case back to the planning board for concept review.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Other questions? Tim?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Dwight?
Yes.
And the chair also. So sorry you didn't get it right away, but we'll see. We'll be able to work with them a little bit better and have a better understanding of the project as a whole, just because you do have the environmental conditions in the back. So.
Okay, we'll work through it.
Okay. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. please read the next one?
ZBA file number 2722, Daniel Patti, vacant land, Webster Road, zoned B2, SBL number 161.09-3-8-1, part of farm lot 40, township 9, range 7, requests a use variance to park vehicles during stadium events. On any Erie County football stadium activity date, the property owners in any B2 or I1 zone within the one-mile radius described above may permit parking for compensation, providing they have obtained a commercial parking permit from the Town of Orchard Park, Section 144-12B. Only parking lots in existence on May 3, 2017 are allowed hereunder, and all others are specifically prohibited, Section 144-12C.
Welcome.
Hello, how are you?
Hello. Whenever you're ready, please just explain to us about your project.
It's, my name is Jeffrey Zade. I'm an attorney for Mr. Patti. I'm familiar with this purchase of a property near a stadium in which he's trying to seek a relief for a parking permit. To continue what's been going on with that property for the last 30 plus years. This has not been before Mr. Patti purchased the property. He went down to the town and made sure there wasn't any issues with this, and was told there would be no issues, and there hasn't been until some there was one neighbor complaint. And that's what brought this whole thing to a head.
Excuse me, one second, please. Thank you. Sorry,
So, Mr. Patti purchased this property on June 15th, 2018. That's a while. And the statute says only parking lots in existence on May 3rd, 2017. And this has been a parking lot for 30-something years. And it's been used for that, and we'd like to continue to use it.
And the property itself has a very heavy base of stone and millings. They've been adding to that for the 20 years that I've known of this lot. They've been putting it on every other year, something's been put on that lot. It had a slight drainage problem, which took in the property behind it on the one side. And so this summer, I talked to the engineers from the town, and we came up with a plan. I put a swale in, took care of all the water problems for all the properties, which it's basically a big bowl coming right at the lot like this all the way around. So we got a nice little thing. In fact, the past rain we had, for the parking for the past Sunday's game, there was no water in the lot. The neighbor's left the yard was very dry compared to what it used to be. The guy's yard was back, he put his step in his yard, solid, and the guy directly behind the other's direct property. No issues whatsoever with water because of the drainage we put in.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Bader, you saying that this parking lot pre-existed to the May 3rd, 2017 date?
Yes.
And it was in continual use?
Continual use for 31 or 32 years.
At least 30 years.
And continually getting the proper permit from the town?
There's never been a permit on that property. It's never had a permit. Before I purchased the property, I stopped into the building office and I told them, I'm thinking about buying this property or parking. It's been used for parking. And I was told I wouldn't have an issue with it. And that's where it's been sitting for.
Because it's in a residential zone.
It's not a residential zone.
It's commercial.
I think it's a commercial zone. I think that's what we looked up.
B2.
It's got a tiny little portion of it that's in the residential, but that's kind of.
But it's been there for 30 years, and you're just continuing.
Mm-hmm. I've just been continuing, and that's all I use it for. Other than that, other than me cleaning up the property this past year with the drainage, that property really doesn't get used for anything except for Bills games, or if you had what, 3 concerts this year. Not that it was what you said, one game, and one day you got 13 out of the
match. Okay. The reason I'm asking that, Chairman, is I'm not sure why they're here.
Yeah, I'm confused as well.
why I'm here is I've got a neighbor on the one side who disagrees with the property line. And he has been trying to, he calls the police at every game, to every game. He tells them we've got all kinds of things going on. He doesn't realize I've got a camera on the line and I've got the whole thing scoped out. I got a recording of what's going on in the line.
I'll stop you there. That's not a zoning problem. It's a police problem. And it sounds like you have some control there. But I don't think this board has anything.
Well, the building office is saying I should get the permit for it.
Yes, okay.
So that it eliminates the problems, you don't have any issues. Absolutely. I'm fine with that. I'm all for it.
I think that's the only thing you have to do.
That's it.
That's my opinion. That's the opinion I would give this board. I don't think you need a permit.
But isn't it in the zoning ordinance, 144-12B, only parking lots in existence on May 13th, 2017 are hereby allowed hereby and under, and all others are specifically prohibited. So that language there, if he was in existence as a parking lot, then it's not a variance type thing. I agree with you 100%.
I would agree too, but this is what we were told. I spoke with Tim Gallagher, because he was also handling the criminal issue, because the neighbor ended up getting charged with harassment and for taking out bushes after being told by the police not to do so. So because this complaint was made, we have to make this application.
That's basically what happened.
And I agree. I don't know why we're here either, but because this parking lot's been existing and used in this manner for over 30 years.
I would recommend to this board to go on record saying that he doesn't need a variance and all he needs is the permit from the town.
All right.
Yep, that's what I meant.
All right, then I will make a motion to go on record.
Want to go anywhere else to the floor? Do you want to follow the other?
We don't have to because it's not really a variance.
Okay, I agree with that approach.
Okay, so I will make a put it on record that this is not a zoning board of appeals matter, that you need to go to the town and file for a permit.
That's on the form of a motion. Would you need a second and then
okay.
Vote?
So I make a motion to do that.
Okay.
Okay. So I guess, do I have a second?
I'll second.
Go ahead.
Thank you.
Okay. Then on the question, Dwight?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Kim?
Yes.
And the chair also. So good luck with your permit.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
When you're ready, can you read the next one, please?
ZBA file number 2822, Elizabeth Callahan, 10 Broadview Way, zoned R1, SBL number 162.15-4-8, sublot 26, map cover 2496, requests an area variance to construct a one-car addition with mudroom 8.75 feet from the side lot line. Minimum side setback for structures in an R1 zone is 15 feet. Section 144, attachment 14, 1, height, lot, yard, and bulk regulations.
Hello, welcome. So please just sign in, and when you're ready, you can talk about your project. And
get around it. And they also have more than two cars, so they wanted to add this a new garage. When I originally called the town, they told me the side yard setback was 15 feet. So we thought originally we were going for a very minor variance and found out the day that I applied that it was, or I'm sorry, they were told it was 10 because they didn't ask me village or town, and then found out it was 15 for the side yard setback because they are in the village. We tried to minimize the size of the garage.
Sorry, can you go back to re-explain the town versus the village?
I called and asked what the side yard setback was and was told originally that it was 10 feet. And then when I went in to apply, found out that it was 15.
Okay, there's two separate offices, that's why I'm confused. Sorry.
Did you call the town or the village? I don't mean to confuse you.
Yes.
No, I guess you could be right. Like, it could be my error.
Yeah.
So it's not there.
No, I mean, that's how you were saying. Actually, yeah. We're just trying to distinguish.
Yes.
Yeah. So anyways, we came up with a design. We did try to minimize the size of this new garage. And just so you know, the driveway is all existing. The garage, the interior of this garage is 10 and a half feet. If anybody parks their car in the garage knows this is not, we're not asking for like a huge garage. And then the access to the back to get to the pool needed to be, we made it 3.5 feet inside. They had family members that need an accessible access to the backyard to get to the pool. So that was sort of the minimum we could go with that. It was just difficult to work. You can see the pool, and this is a hot tub on there in the site plan. We really tried to squeeze it in. And this is kind of the only way we could accomplish it. I did put, made it attractive from the neighbor's side, and I don't think they're opposed to it. I know that it was discussed with them. We put a couple windows and like a stone water course to make it attractive. And it'll give privacy also from the pool.
So you have your existing driveway. Okay.
Is that the question? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Do
you have any questions? Yes, we'll go
down. Okay. All right.
I'll start with mine.
There's really not, but as I said, the interior of the garage is 10 and a half feet. I could take off the stone band and gain 4 inches. You know, I put the stone on to make it prettier. I could take that off and take off 4 inches. Otherwise, I don't think you can even fit a car on there.
The one question I had, I think you answered, was that they spoke with the neighbors, and the issue with the neighbors, no issues at all?
No.
No, we talked to the neighbors before the notice, you know, of this meeting came out, and they indicated that they didn't have any issues with it.
That's all I had.
So specifically, as you're looking at the house, the neighbor to the left,
Yeah.
They had no problem.
No, they had no problem. Verbally, they gave verbal assurance that they had no problem with.
When you do the construction, you've got this fence that's pretty close to the pool. Are you going to infringe on that, or
the fence for the pool?
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to move the fence, you know, when the pool is moved, or when the addition is added. Right now, the fence is very pretty close to the hot tub, like that area, and it'll end up being moved down to the end of the addition or wherever we can. Is that also? To be honest, I'm not sure what the setback of the fence is.
The fencing would continue to the back of the house. So
yeah.
It'd be extended.
Right.
It would come right to the structure.
Right. So it's slightly angled.
So there would still be the pool seat.
Yeah.
Thank you. Put the pool on.
Just looking at the plan here, was alluded to, I think Mike asked if you could save anything. If you stayed with just the mudroom and didn't have the half bath or cool changing or the benches, could you save a few feet there?
I guess. Well, actually, no. You know what? I was going to say technically maybe yes, but again, they are required because of a family member that needs an accessible way to get to the pool. And if you look where the door is in between the existing garage and the new garage, I mean, there's literally, again, I could take off the stone and maybe have a few inches, but.
And Mr. Metz, if we look at the existing face of the garage that's perpendicular to that corridor, if you would extrapolate that line straight through by getting rid of those areas that you mentioned, we would be gaining only about 18 inches. I don't have a scale in front of me, but the bathroom and the closet back up to the fireplace are, the majority of that space is behind the existing face of the building. So by deleting it, we can't move the garage or the walkway past the face of the existing building. So we would only be gaining about whatever that is right there, 16 or 18 inches by deleting those.
Yeah, I was looking at a 3-foot figure there.
I think that's for the corridor, for the pass-through, to be able to get from the parking area courtyard to the rear of the structure without going through the garage,
nope,
which would be impassable if there was a vehicle.
It was like the half bath was 3 feet wide.
Yeah, like if you take the edge of the existing garage and go straight back, you lose a large portion of what you're, you know, you wouldn't really gain any of this area.
Could I show you, Mr. Metz, on
sure.
Your puppy?
Sure.
So if this is the existing face of the building,
right?
If we were to take that, and again, I'm just going to do for reference a little mark, that space right there is all that we could lose to pull us back because we can't get the hallway beyond the corner of the house. We wouldn't be able to get access. We need that amount of space to get a doorway to maintain that pathway through. That's the existing front. So that's kind of a static point that we would lose, you know, basically this much of those rooms. More than half of it's not impacted by us going, what would that be, southerly.
Thank you.
One thing, observation I have is that it seems like you have a kind of pie-shaped lot, where your front of your lot is substantially wider than the area you want to add this addition to. And I could see how that, like, if you had a true just parallel lot lines, you may not need much of a variance, if anything at all. Another thing I wanted to ask, I know number 8, Broadview, recently changed hands and you have a new neighbor. Is that the neighbor you spoke with?
Yes.
Did you speak with anyone across the street or any of the other neighbors on the other side about this project?
Not specifically.
Okay.
Because they weren't immediately impacted. I do know that in the time that we've been in our house at number 11 Broadview, they had an extension very close to number 9, and they were they had no problem granting that variance to their neighbor. So these are existing neighbors. They have not changed in the 26 years we've been there this week.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I have for questions.
Does any other board member have a question? So I will go to the audience now. Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to speak on behalf of granting variance? Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to speak on behalf of granting variance? Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to speak against the granting variance? Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to speak against the granting variance? Have you received any outside communication?
No.
Okay. So I will close the public hearing portion. So for discussion.
I don't think it's a big deal.
I think the hardship is partially due by the shape of the lot. That being that it narrows as it goes back creates a hardship for it. No comments.
Okay. I'm not going to lie, it makes me uncomfortable. I'm not a fan. I think it's the setback that has to be 15 feet and something 9. Board member willing to make a motion?
I would make a motion on being filed 28.2, make a motion to approve the area variance. I don't think there'll be any undesirable character of the neighborhood or detriment to nearby properties. The benefit cannot be achieved in any other way. Request is not substantial. I don't think there'll be any adverse effect or impact on the physical or environmental conditions in the neighborhood. Difficulty was self-created, but that doesn't preclude approval. And so I move for approval.
Okay. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Any questions? Kim?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Dwight?
Yes.
Bob?
No.
And the chair votes no also, but it was 3-2, so good luck.
Thank you.
So last one, when you have a chance.
ZBA file number 2922, Benderson Development Company, LLC, 3507 and 3519 North Buffalo Road, Zoned B3, SBL numbers 161.08-2-1 and 161.08-2-21.1, Farm Lot 14, Township 10, Range 7, requests two area variances to construct a medical office building on a corner lot with a 25-foot setback at each street right-of-way line. Minimum front setback in a B3 zone is 50 feet, section 144, attachment 14.1 and 15.1. Minimum side yard setback facing a street, side yard of corner lot. The side yard of any corner lot of record at the time of adoption of this chapter shall have a width equal to the required minimum front side yard setback of any adjoining lot fronting the side street, provided, however, that the side yard of any corner lot in a B1 or B2 commercial district shall have a minimum width of 10 feet where the front of the building on said lot is set back at least 300 feet from the intersecting or intercepting streets, section 144-22H.
So, welcome.
Good evening. interested in, they were back. Just to refresh the board recollection, we're previously here for a project. You're familiar with the site, the corner of that building. It's paved to the road, so it's from the green space, the parking lot right up to the street. Our first application requested is maintaining the parking in the front, the building in the back. We have reworked the plan, zoning variance, but we've worked more than the plans as far as the parking goes by moving the building forward, placing all the parking in the rear. It generates a variance, front yard, and I'm not sure if it's two front yards to the corner lot. It does add 25 feet of green space or more all the way along the outside of the site. We're moving the parking and moving the site closer to compliance with the code. So that is the main change for what's kind of forcing the project. Okay. I did write a letter on all the criteria. I can go through them if you like.
No, we all got a chance to read it over. So, unless there's anything you want to highlight.
That's why I sent the letter.
Okay. All right. So I will start with Dwight today.
Can you explain to me by pointing at your visualizations there where this commercial district shall have a minimum width of 10 feet, where the front of the building on said lot is set back at least 300 feet from the intersecting or intersecting streets?
I pointed that out in our variance. I understand this. I'd like to provide the building inspector from 50 feet to 25 feet. So I believe that's the variance, correct?
I'm sorry.
Can you repeat the question?
Let's wait until John comes back. Yeah. He'll be able to help us.
Did you talk to any of the neighbors?
We've been here a number of times. Even at one point, we were behind, they were not home, but they've noticed. And we're going to give them a lot more green space than they currently have.
I noticed that you did offer a good green buffer in behind. I think that's
a significant improvement over what currently is there. And right. We're going to bring over the landscape with the fence, and it's going to be a big improvement for them.
Right. I think that's being a good neighbor.
And overall, the site gets a significant amount of green space in this project, rather than the way it looks now. All the way around the site, on both roads, and back.
Okay. Can you just come back to me?
Okay. That's it.
Maybe keep moving.
I like what you've done.
That's it.
That's it.
I agree with Tom. I like this part too.
I think my numbers one, but I do like this one too.
Okay. I have one question.
Yeah.
So I only have one thing that I'm slightly concerned about right now. So one of the things that we're aware of is that the DOT is redoing the road this year.
Yeah.
And there's rumors that there's going to be an added turning lane.
Mm-hmm.
So I personally don't know, and I guess we can put the blame on me for this one. I wasn't able to get the correct people to find out if they're going to be encroaching on your property at all. So that's my only concern. I like this project a lot better. I just would personally like to understand the numbers a little bit better. But I have one question. So is there a reason? So let's say that they are going to end up widening the street a little bit. Would you be at all opposed if you were to slightly rotate the building so you would have more green space at the intersection and, like, move? Do you understand what I'm trying to do?
It's a hard site to fit because of the shape of it, like the dual corner with the corner. Can fool around with this since the zoning board has been going on, you know, over 2 years at this point, to try and get it to work. We do provide, if they had to take space at the corner, could we shift back, we could sort of shift it back a little and go back into the green space here. I mean, it's you know, you're just shifting the location of the green space. We've got no notice of any takings, so we have not noticed they're taking any property from us.
Do they typically
know that? They normally have mailed property when they're in the project, but they do property and they're mailing saying they're going to take our property.
How far in advance? I know nothing about the process.
Usually, way far in advance of a project, because especially if they're going to take property, we've got no notice that they're taking any property. And I think there's a way where they're going to turn away and take our property, especially if they're in the corner.
Is it Mile Strip or is it Orchard Park Road that's going to have
Orchard Park Road.
Okay.
Well, that's the road they're redoing, so I can only assume. And I don't even know if this is for sure. Mm-hmm.
Madam Chairman, typically a state right-of-way is at least 65 feet. And do you have any idea how wide the road is in front of the building now?
It is clear into the garage from the building, from the tower. And that would be 12, 24, 36. That's the width of the pavement.
My point is the state may already have its right-of-way. Adequate to build what it needs. Okay, you follow? And indeed, that's 36 feet wide, there's another 15 feet on either side.
And when we shift the building back, which is right, we're going to keep all the 25 to give them some of the space.
Right.
When we start to rotate the building back, this dimension gets narrower. Mm-hmm. We want to kind of keep it equal all the way around.
I don't know. Maybe John could interpret this this second part of the section 144, attachment 14.1 and 15.1. At the end of it, it talks about a corner on a B1 or B2 lot. The commercial district shall have a minimum width of 15 feet. You see that in the minimum width of 10 feet from the face front of the building on said lot.
Well, this is a B3.
So why is this even in here then? Why is this all written up like this in our agenda?
More information is better than nothing.
Because the setback is 50 feet. That's right. I don't understand where that applies. I think it's a B3, so I don't believe that applies. Because then we exceed that requirement. Because we're 25 feet, so we exceed 15.
So I guess you can ignore that.
I'm just going to ignore it because I found it confusing and a little perplexing as to how that is applicable to this. And if you're not 300 feet from the intersecting street, you need a variance for that. But you're B.
It's B3.
He's B3, so never mind.
I think it just got carried in. And they were
never mind. That's all right.
So, okay. Does anyone else have any questions before I go to the audience? Okay. Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to speak on behalf of granting variance? Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to speak on behalf of granting variance? Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to speak against the granting variance? Press 7. Anyone in the audience wish to speak against the granting variance? Okay. Have you received any outside communications?
No.
Okay. So I will close the public hearing portion of meeting. Board discussion?
I think it's a good compromise after the initial one that the board didn't move. And one of the ideas was to shift the parking to the left. And I think this is good use of that site. I don't have any question that the existing building has got to come down.
I agree to the project for that corner.
I like it. I think it makes that particular section what I think they say more walkable. And I like it. It looks really good. Thank you.
How many, just a question for you quickly. How many parking spots are you proposing there?
57?
Yeah. It's almost enough for a Dollar General.
It's almost enough for a Dollar General. Not a Dollar General.
All right.
It is almost enough for a Dollar General. That's true.
I was just thinking outside the box. Never mind. Again, I think it's an all right use of the property.
All right. Is there a board member willing to make a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Okay.
Regarding ZBA file 29-22, I make a motion to approve the variance in the area variance. I don't believe there will be an undesirable change in the character of the neighborhood or the detriment to nearby properties. I don't feel that the benefit can be sought in any other way other than by granting of the variance. I don't believe that the request is substantial. I don't believe that there will be an adverse effect or impact on the physical or environmental conditions of the neighborhood. In fact, I think it will improve that corner and its neighbors. And while the difficulty was self-created, it does not preclude that the granting of the variance.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. On the question, Kim.
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Dwight?
Yes.
Chair also, sir. Good luck.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, you too. Before we adjourn, I just want to point out that
per section.
Can you just wait till we close?
Per section 143-63E1, all public notices have been filed and the applicant.
Didn't
you say that before? No. Oh, you
couldn't
find it? Where? Okay. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. But he's a nice guy.